Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and joining me today for what I know will be a most heartfelt look at how two very unassuming, ordinary women were recruited into the working ranks of the divine energy force. Elaine Grohman and I are both healers and educators and channelers of universal energy. By sharing the stories of our clients and the messages given to us by our guides in spirit, we truly hope to help others to understand their own energetic thoughts and how to connect to their own innate soul intelligence for a more truthful and realistic look at who they are, what life is all about, and how they can expand the nature of their heart to receive and give love as we were all born to do. In today's episode, Elaine is the author of The Angels and Me. She is also a certified healing touch practitioner and associate polarity practitioner, and also an angel therapy practitioner, which we will discuss and make clear as we go along in the show. We will both try to give examples to explain and validate the importance of energy medicine, intuition, and the true meaning of healing as a multidimensional journey of body, mind, and spirit. Welcome, Elaine, and thank you for being present on Healing From Within.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Elaine, in reading your book, The Angels and Me, it became immediately clear to me that some of the events of our childhood were very similar and were, as difficult as they were and challenging as they were, necessary and preparation for the work we were to do later in life. Can you tell us about how events during your childhood guided you to ask for perhaps more help from spirit and to develop your sensitive nature, and how these events were necessary for the work you do now?
Absolutely. I was originally number 7 of 9 children, and of the children in the family, one of our brothers was afflicted with muscular dystrophy. And
wasn't his name Brian?
His name was Brian, yes. And Brian died when he was 15, but Brian was extremely gifted intellectually. He was a very creative individual, but his body had failed him. And as children, we were always taught to be involved in his care. So I think that that was one of the things that actually helped me to learn to be more sensitive to the needs of others. But on top of that, our mother was an extraordinary woman who really helped us to learn how to, first of all, take care of one another and respect one another, and also how to work cohesively as a family. And they both died when I was 12 years old and 13 years old, respectfully. Our brother dying first when I was 12, he was 15, and my mother died when she was 47 when I was 13 years old.
I know, and as I read that, I could feel the difficulty that you sensed and felt at that time, and I was crying because it is so hard for me to conceive of losing so much so young. And I know you dealt with it very well. And why was it that you were able to deal with it?
Well, you know, I think actually I have to give credit to my mother because she really helped us to learn how to, number one, be together as a family and to support one another. And that, I have to say, is the greatest gift that I had in my life, is the support and the love that I have with my family, and we're still very close. But also, I recognized, and I think through her influence, I always would pray when I was worried, or I'd go out in nature when I was worried. And she encouraged that. And I, unknowingly, what she was doing, I believe, was showing me how to speak to the divine.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You had training to do that. But I think as a sensitive child, you already knew you were surrounded by certain energetic forces or unseen energy. Is that so?
I would say that's true. And I used to think every now and then, I remember riding my bicycle, and I think this thought would come to me, like, you're supposed to do something important. And I'm like, what? Who's talking to me? You know, and it kind of was like, from my little Irish Catholic background, I thought, oh, I can't even have those kinds of thoughts. That's Sounds so self-important. And
well, you know, I always followed those clues and those thoughts and in my head, but I thought it was just because I was a hard worker and a bright student, and I just wanted to do things to make everyone happy. But that guidance was there with us as children, and it wasn't until later in my life that I really started to understand and to use it in a different way. But it was always there for us, and it's there for everyone. And, you know, I lost someone very young also. I had a 19-year-old cousin, and he died from leukemia. And I remember at the time, he looked very much like me. Even though we were only cousins, I felt very close to him. And I was sad, but on another level, I knew he was all right. And it wasn't my religious training that allowed me to know that. It was the fact that some of us grow up and still stay connected to that divine energy and at all times feel safe and never feel alone. So I think you and I both had that quality in our life at that time and now, and we still have it.
Yes, and I was actually so grateful and praying as a child that my brother would be free of his crippled body.
And he is.
And so
he is.
Absolutely.
And, Elaine, there are moments, often moments, when those in spirit capture our attention. As we just said, when you were riding your bike and when I was receiving information and I followed it because I thought it was my own smart attitude and good-naturedness talking, but actually they capture our attention in an effort to remind us of our life goals and purpose. And one of the stories you told in the book very much reminded me of that. Can you tell us the story of your Aunt Gloria and her passing and how that affected you and how she was related to your mother?
Yes, my Aunt Gloria was my mother's sister. And she had been very important to us throughout our lives. And when my mother was living as children, we were always doing things together as families. And my aunt was a diabetic, and she was, at this point in time, she was in the end stages of diabetes. She had not been a very compliant patient, so she had a long, drawn-out illness. And she was eventually signed on to hospice care at a local hospital here in Michigan. And they thought that she would last about 2 weeks, but she actually lasted 6 weeks. And in that time, my siblings and I would go to try to help supplement the care that her family was giving, as well as the hospice care providers were giving. And it's very arduous and difficult emotionally and physically to be taking care of someone that you love that is clearly dying. So to be able to be there, to be supportive to my cousins was very important to me. So on this one particular day, I was there, and my cousin was absolutely exhausted. And I just said to her, you know what, honey, you need to get out of here. I don't care if you sit on the front porch for an hour. You need to get out of this room. And she finally agreed, and I told her, I promised her that I would not leave her mother's side until she walked back in the room. So she left, and my aunt at this point was hovering between semi-comatose and comatose and non-responsive for hours at a time. And I just held her hand and thanked her and talked to her about, you know, our appreciation for all that she had done for us in our life. And basically said to her, you know, if you're ready to go, honey, it's okay. And literally the best way I could describe it, it was like the light switch got flipped on. And she went from completely non-responsive to opening her eyes very bright and looked at me and said, I see my sister.
Oh.
And I said, then you go to her, darling, because she's going to take good care of you.
Yeah, her sister was your mother.
Her sister was my mother, who at that time had died 27 years before that when I was 13 years old.
And I had the same experience with my Uncle Hi, who was my mother's brother. Mm. And he also was in the end stage of diabetes. And I came in. He had been in a coma. And I came in and I sat with him and I was giving him Reiki. The cousins, my family were all around. And he opened his eyes and he saw me and he said, oh, Cheryl's here. I know where I'm going next.
Oh,
because
Cheryl.
He knew I did hospice work, and we had talked many, many hours about my mother's passing. He was very close to my mother and very sad about her leaving. So he passed the same way. After he woke up from this coma and he said goodbye to everyone, they put him in hospice care that night, and he died that evening. Oh, and it was a blessing. It was a blessing. So we have a similar story there. But besides that, I have an Aunt Gladys. You had an Aunt Gloria. And when I was reading about your aunt, I remembered a story, and I want to share it. I've never really shared this with anyone, but it's important in showing people how spirit works with us. I was at a bar mitzvah. My Aunt Gladys walked over to me. It was her grandson's bar mitzvah. And as she walked towards me, a thought went through my head. She doesn't have long to live. Mm-hmm. Now, this is about 15 years ago. I was not doing the work that I am doing now. I was not really aware where that thought came from. And I was angry at myself. I said, where would a thought like that come from? But as a result of that thought, I made it my business to call her more and see her more. And she actually passed 3 years later, before my mother, because my mother was 10 years older than her. So what we were talking about at the beginning of the show was how spirit works with us and gives us thoughts. And these thoughts are to help us understand who we are, where we come from, not in a negative, but in a very positive way. So when we do have to deal with a situation that's difficult and challenging, we know it's okay, because it's the plan for that person. There is a time to come and a time to go. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, I've had similar experiences where I would recognize that someone was not well,
mm-hmm.
even before they knew that they weren't well. And it's just, you're right, it's spirit prompting us to
help that person.
To help them.
Yeah, to love them more with the time that we have. Absolutely. I personally get very, very positive messages for my clients in order to help them live a life and enjoy everything they're doing and correct some of their thinking that's holding them back from the most positive experience. So I very rarely get anything negative. So I'm going to think that that remark that I had from Spirit was to help me help my family. And also, I loved my aunt very much. So when she was gone, I knew she was all right.
Absolutely. You know, because we have to be realistic that we are all going to die at some point.
I know you say that in the book also. You absolutely say that, and I agree with you. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's just a transference of our energy and soul to another dimension.
That's right.
And that's why you and I both do hospice work, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But, Elaine, can you tell us how you became interested in studying polarity healing and also the healing touch system, which I believe is similar to the Reiki that I do? And maybe you can describe those two systems of energy healing.
Well, I'd be happy to. In fact, there's much more that I have studied beyond that. I originally, when I had the experience with my aunt, I actually, in the moment after she recognized that her sister was there, I felt her spirit leave her body. And it was such a palpable experience to me. I inquired with everyone that I knew that was in medicine if they had ever experienced anything like that. And finally, I found someone that helped me to understand that I felt her spirit leave her body. Well, I wanted to understand that. And somehow, all along in my young life, I recognized that somehow I was going to be involved in medicine, even though I was not a nurse or a physician. So I recognized that if I was going to study any kind of energetic modality, I wanted to have some knowledge of a way of working with energy that had a very scientific point of view and was very much concerned with physiology. So as it turned out, I was introduced to polarity therapy, which happened to have been designed by a physician. So it was very physiologically based. And it was a 2.5-year program, And in that, you learned how to palpate the organ systems in the energetic field, in the aura. And I was in, at that time, I was involved in hospice initially as a volunteer, and then I became a hospice employee. So it was the best possible beginning for me to understand energy medicine, and I was in the worst case scenarios every day in terms of someone's health. So it helped me a great deal, Cheryl, because what it forced me to understand physiology.
And I was told, this is very funny, I was told by my father in spirit through a medium before I was functioning that way that I had to study reflexology. He wanted me to do that to also learn more about the reflex points and the physiology of the body. So you see, we were guided that way also. And I agree with you. It has been very important to me. My father was a foot doctor, podiatrist, and to keep this knowledge on a scientific level and to bring it to the public as more fact than it is mystical thought like many people think.
Correct. And I somehow knew, as I said, that I was going to be involved with people in medicine, and I have indeed for the last 10 years worked with two local universities, medical schools, helping their students understand energy medicine. So it was a little nudge in the right direction. So I went through the 2.5 years of polarity therapy and became an associate polarity practitioner, and literally I was introduced to healing touch because I needed some healing myself. I had actually ruptured L5-S1, and I was in a great deal of pain. And I had gone to see several physicians, and they wanted to do surgery. And I said, no.
Can you tell our listeners what that is? You used a technical term.
L5 and S1 is the lumbar and the sacrum.
Lower back.
In my lower back. I ruptured a disc in my lower back. And it was excruciatingly painful. And, you know, they wanted me to do physical therapy, which I did, but I found that the only thing that actually helped me was energy medicine.
Yes.
So I was introduced to, there's a local healing touch center, and when I had the experience there, it was such an impactful experience, I wanted to understand that modality. So I went through another 2.5 years of education. So to get a certification as a certified healing touch practitioner. And again, that has a governing body that has a medical governing body. It is under the auspices of the American Holistic Nurses Association. So yet I was prompted one more time to have an education that had a bona fide curriculum that I would have to use continuous education to keep my certifications up to date, and so that kind of forced me to stay very current with things.
And that's very important, and I always say to my students, I also teach Reiki, that wherever they're called, wherever they're guided, wherever the opportunity arises, we must go forward and keep learning, because that's why we're here. That's what our soul has chosen to do, to come to a physical environment where we can expand and learn. Now, you just told us some of the benefits. You didn't have to have surgery as a result of the alternative healing modalities you were working with for yourself.
Yeah.
Are there other benefits that the energy medicine can help people with?
Absolutely. If I could give you a list of several things. First and foremost, it helps you to relax. And relaxation is a very important response physiologically. And when the body can relax, then you have more blood flow, et cetera, and your body can get the blood needed to the proper area to help it heal. But it does help with wound healing. It helps with people that have cancers. It helps you get rid of a migraine headache in 10 minutes if you know what you're doing. And there's so many aspects. But honestly, I have been at birth and I have been at death. And I've done healing work in every one of those scenarios, and you can actually have a healing as someone is dying. It does not mean necessarily that they're having a cure, but they're having a release of something, whether it's their physical pain, whether it's their anxiety and their fear of death, or whether it's a way of helping just to be a more peaceful transition. So healing is very multifaceted.
Absolutely. Many people think healing is just ridding the body of symptoms, and it's really not about that. Healing is about becoming a whole human and soul being.
Yes.
Going into the being of our energy system and combining it with our physical life for an appreciation of a physical life and knowing who we are both here and beyond here. So that's really what healing is about.
Right.
Elaine, in a recent show, I had a guest who's very much like us. Her name is Sarah Wiseman, and she's author of Writing the Divine. And she's had many similar experiences and has been very active in this work over the last, I would say, 10 or 12 years. And she and I discussed that we received our information for our clients when we do readings, aside from the energy. It's another part of healing, receiving messages that can help people deal with whatever it is that they're learning about. And she and I discussed how we receive information from various guides, spiritual beings, religious figures, ancestors, relatives, and angels. And often we felt that many of these entities were working together. But because the information often comes in so rapidly, it is challenging for most of us doing this work to completely know the source or messenger. You refer to your readings as angel readings. Can you tell us more about the angelic guides you work with and if you also receive information from other souls or higher vibrational beings?
Yes, actually the reason I call it angel readings was actually I studied with Doreen Virtue. Many people know who Doreen Virtue is. She's very well known all over the world as an angel reader. And I think that my original introduction to that was just because of my religious background, although I'm not a practicing Catholic, I was born and raised Catholic. You know, I saw angels on the walls of the church all the time, and I was taught to pray to them as a child. And it seemed natural to me that if you're going to pray to someone, wouldn't they respond back? And they always did. So to answer your question, Cheryl, yes, I feel that I know, as a matter of fact, that I have many more than just angelic beings that respond and give me information. There's many medicine people, Native American medicine women and men who have come and shared information with me, the loved ones of the individuals who are coming to talk to me. And the point of it all is all about love. And in truth, they don't care what you call them.
Thank you. Yes, sometimes we don't know them specifically, and that's all right.
That's right.
Because they're there to help us deliver a message so that another person can find some peace and well-being while they're here.
That's right. That's right. And actually, one time I was in England, and I was being given, receiving a reading to me from another individual. And I had been very interested in learning about who this one being was that was working with me recently at that time. And the woman finally just said, you can't even pronounce that name. Because the name was actually a geometric symbol.
Oh, we're going to get into that in a second about sacred geometry. Mm-hmm. But before we do, I know one of the ways spirit often begins to work with us is through dreams. Can you tell us how a lucid dream allows those in spirit the ideal set of circumstances so they can reach some people or individuals who might be closed down to their own higher sense of self?
Well, the interesting thing about a lucid dream rather than a precognitive dream is that a lucid dream appears to be very real to us. You know, things are very tangible as if you're really there. But you're not just an observer, you're a participant.
Yes.
You may have the tactile feeling of touching someone or moving through time and space, or if you're in water, you feel like you're in water. It's very, very graphically real. And what we are beginning to understand, really, is a lucid dream is an out-of-body experience.
Absolutely. Or a visitation from someone in spirit who wants to reach us. Now, I have a story I'd like to tell here that will fit right in. Years ago, when I had first begun hospice work, I had a dream, and at the time I wasn't sure what it meant. I was moving very quickly along a stone corridor. I was almost flying, but there was no airplane. So I landed in a garden, and it was so bright and peaceful and colorful, and standing right to my right was a man in a white robe, and it appeared to me to be Jesus from pictures I have seen. Now, I'm Jewish, and I always cried when I was a child when I saw the injustice done to him and tried to understand how people could take such a man who was such a teacher and trying to help everybody to find peace and love, how they could do what they did to him. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, to the left side of him in this dream was a woman dressed in blue, and I sensed her to be his mother. I was really surprised, and I was very pleased, but I immediately found myself back in my own bed, and it was like my head jerked back, and I just didn't realize at the time that that was an out-of-body experience. But the next day I went to a development group with one of my psychic development Reiki teachers, mm-hmm. and there was a student there who hadn't been there in over a year. And she was there that night, and she told me she was doing hospice work. And the reason she knew what she was doing the right work was because 3 years earlier, she had had a dream. And then she proceeded to tell me about it. And she said to me that she was moving fast along a corridor and arrived in a garden, and she saw Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "I am so happy you are helping those in hospice to cross over without fear and with dignity."
Oh.
And I barely could breathe because we both had the same dream. I had not heard him speak, and had she not shared that message, I would have continued to wonder what my dream really meant, because I saw him and she heard him. And I believe the message was for all of us who do this energy healing and hospice work, to help those who are still frightened and don't understand who they are and where they come from and where they're going. And Elaine, would you wish to share a hospice experience that opened a new door of awareness for you?
Well, actually, yes, I would. There was a gentleman that I was working at the hospice home, and as it was my custom to go and try to introduce myself to a new patient if they were cognizant enough to interact. And there was a gentleman who had come in that day, and as I was walking towards his room, the nurse stopped me. And she said, "Oh, Elaine, I don't think you want to go in there because he's really an angry man." And I said, "You know, well, he doesn't know me, so I don't assume that he's mad at me, and maybe he has a right to be angry." And she said, "Oh, you know, why don't you let the chaplain and the social worker take care of him?" And I said, "You know, why don't we just let him make that decision?" So we went in, and I introduced myself, and I thought, if he doesn't want me to be there, I'll respect that. I introduced myself and asked if I could come and sit down and speak with him, and he said, "Why not? Nobody else will come and talk to me." He was a very gruff old man. And as we started having a conversation, just physically looking at him, you could tell that he'd had a very rough life. And he kind of was a gruff character, tried to intimidate me a little bit, and I just, you know, sat and talked with him, and all of a sudden, Cheryl, I heard in my mind over and over and over again, "Tell him he must forgive his brother. Tell him he must forgive his brother." And I didn't know what to do with it at first, and then finally I asked him, I'll call him Joe. I said, "Joe, did you have a brother?" And I couldn't tell you all the words that he said, but he wasn't very fond of his brother. And he hated his brother, in fact. And
I remember that story from the book.
Yes.
And then when you asked him why he was angry with him, he couldn't even remember. It had been so long ago and probably so unimportant.
That's right. And so we talked about forgiveness, and he was able to ask his brother if he would forgive him. And he realized that through all of these, it had been 40 years since his brother had died, and about 15 years before that he had been angry with his brother. So for 55 years, every person that he met was seen through the veil of this anger.
Yeah.
And he realized he never really knew anybody.
And he hurt himself Mm-hmm. You see, if we could be like the children and just allow these experiences to come in and float through us, feel it for the moment, examine it, know it, but then not hold it. Let it go and let ourselves go back to a more joyful, loving, peaceful state. We'd all be a lot healthier and a lot happier, and that's what we're here to learn, just how to do that, mm-hmm. to let go, to accept and to allow and surrender to our own divine self, our own divine spark that's connected to God, the divine, and the energy that we came from and will go to. And I want to tell a little hospice story here, too. There was an older man. Very often I was sent in by the nurses. I would ask them where to go, because they knew who needed a visit. And on this particular day, the nun said to me to go in to see this older man. He must have been about 95, because he had no family and he had no visitors. Now, it was toward the end of his life. He was sleeping. And I closed my eyes to send an intention of peace and healing. And I saw above him, in my inner vision, three angelic, beautiful faces with flowing hair. They looked like the muses that an artist would draw. Mm-hmm. And they were singing and swirling in a circle around him. And I thought, you know what I thought was really odd? I really thought it was odd that I couldn't hear them because they were singing. But I guess it wasn't for me at that moment to hear that, because maybe that's a song that they invite people, the soul, to come beyond.
Yes.
And it wasn't time. But at the time, I really wished I could have heard the beauty of it, because the moment was so beautiful. So going on to another thought here. Elaine, in your book, you talk about this. It seems that many people are poor communicators, and many of the problems arise because we often don't express what we truly feel. Can you give us some of the prerequisites for good communication so it can take place and we can learn how to truly listen to each other and those in spirit?
Well, you know, one of the things, I was just talking with a client earlier today about this, the most single important thing that we can do for ourselves is to be grounded. And when we are grounded, we're literally connected to the earth. And as energy is coming into our body from the earth, our auric field expands and we actually become calmer. So we stop reacting. And that's the problem that people have so often, Cheryl, is rather than actually listening to what someone is saying to us, we're reacting.
Yes.
And we're defending.
Instead of being proactive, we're being
reactive.
Because we're very often just misinterpreting the intention or the needs of that other person.
That's right.
And we're taking things too personally. So I guess what you're saying about grounding is to have a quiet mind, right? And to have less judgment of ourselves and the actions of others.
Well, actually, to be grounded is actually a physiological thing. It is not, many people think to be grounded is it's having lovely thoughts. No, it's actually physiological. You have to know how to open the chakras on the bottoms of your feet, which, by the way, are the most important chakras in your whole body, in order to have energy come up into the body that raise the frequency.
Yes, yes. I know when I teach my students, we do that. We practice with ropes coming out, going deep into the ground and dropping anchors and breathing up the energy and opening our chakras and closing them when we're not working. Yes, physically doing that. But I think it's also important to bring in meditation and quieting ourselves so that we can allow ourselves time when we deal with people, that we don't get into that reactive state. So we can stay calm, open-minded, and this is all part of developing a sense of balance for ourselves so we can function in a more healthy way, wouldn't you say?
That's right, yeah.
So grounding and learning to keep ourselves in a balanced state at the same time helps the interaction and the communication with people.
Right.
Elaine, I know that you have two new books coming out. Can you quickly give us the names and how these books will further talk about some of these spiritual concerns that are affecting all of us at this present time in our this great spiritual evolution we're all going through?
Well, thank you, Cheryl. The first book that I wrote is called The Angels in Me that you mentioned. And the second book will be out at the end of 2011, hopefully in November, is called Spirit Awakening. And it is about, it is an example of how Spirit has communicated with me in beautiful divine messages. And then my interpretation and examples of how that message has been shown to be of value. What you can do with those kind of messages. That's book number two, Spirit Awakening. The next one, which will be coming out in 2012, is really a book about energy medicine. And helping people understand what we can actually do physically to help ourselves be much more grounded, be much more healthy, and by helping us also to understand where our wounds come from. Because there's so much influence that we forget about the way we have been taught, the way we react.
And the patterns that we have formed from our childhood, from our parents and teachers, and that we keep present and keep reacting in the same way because we haven't gone beyond those habitual patterns, which you do talk about. But you know what, Elaine, throughout the book, you and I work the same way in that we're both doing energy medicine and we're also receiving readings or messages for people that work together. Now, I've had many teachers, and they have wanted me either to do the mediumship or to do the healing. And I said to them, I feel that I became involved in healing work first, and the mediumship evolved after that. And I feel it is my job, my responsibility, and what Spirit wants to do it together, just the way you are. And in your two new books, you're going to talk about them separately, but we are using them together to help as many people as we can. But also in your book, you share channeled messages from your angel guides that, to me, and I would imagine to many people reading it, are so beautiful in word and in context and in the message. May I read one that was extremely significant to me?
Oh,
and that, yeah, and that was, it was in the chapter, Be the Gift. And the quote for that chapter was, Light tomorrow with today, which was written by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Now, that's what my show has tried to do. It has tried to show that we must all be the gift of life and the beautiful soul and spirit that we are, and that we have to be the example to everyone we meet in graciousness and humility and kindness and love. And I want our audience to listen to what you wrote in your book that was channeled to you. Look, really look around you. Look at the beauty and wonder, and the big and the small. Look and see the wonders that surround you each and every moment of your life. In this busy time and in this season of change, resist the temptation to rush through your day. Getting everything done is not as important as filling yourself with love. Examine your thoughts about this precious time of year. Many look to the birth of the great being of light known as Jesus the Christ. Many fill their days with the desire for gift giving. Many hope that the gifts that they desire will be the gifts that they will receive. We ask you this evening to change your focus, beginning with this night, and become aware of the gifts of light and love that are your dearest treasures. They are your birthrights. They are your treasured wonders to explore and know about your own divine beginnings. This treasured gift is within your heart. Examine this, share it, embrace it, and live the light of it fully. You, like your precious brother, whose life is celebrated in the season of light, are also a being of light. You are made of the same things. You come from the great center of the heart of the Most High. We do not speak in your terms of religious context here, for that is where the story has taken many roads. Yet the roots of the true understanding are taken from the same source. In this season, expand your awareness of the purpose of your precious life. Know that this season is not only for the celebration of one birth, but for your birth as well. Let your heart birth wonder, kindness, humility, warmth, trust, patience, tenderness, and solitude. Let the great star in the sky illuminate your life as it foretold of the birthplace of our brother. Let it also foretell of the wonder you will bring to the earth beginning this very day. Know, as our brother knew, that your life in this present incarnation is limited in the number of days you will walk a sacred earth. In this life, expect goodness. Cause others to look within themselves as they observe their existence. Shine your light, not as a spotlight for others to see you, but rather as a lamppost to guide the way. Cause others to see the goodness that is born in the hearts of humankind. As you gift each other with beautiful and wonderful things, let your most prized gift be the gift of your loving presence. With every step, bring forth love. With every breath, let peace be present. With every song you hear, bring the melody of forgiveness. Bring it forward to let that be the blessed gift you bring. Be the gift this day and every day hence. You too are a light for the world. Let this holy land in which you live glow with the warmth of your human heart, so that as you are viewed from above on high, may you shine like a most magnificent gift, reflecting back to the Creator the gifts of your precious birth. Well, Elaine,
I'm almost in tears. I mean, you know, I...
Doesn't this say it all? Really? And as this show implies, healing from within is indeed the love from within our soul and heart that we are obligated to continue to cultivate and expand all the precious moments of our life. So it hurts me when people don't value their life, when people are so sad and they can't get beyond their fears and they go into alcoholism and drugs and even suicide. You know, that's what we hope that people will begin to understand. No matter what's challenging in a moment, that can all shift and change so quickly. So we want people who are listening out there to know that whatever your challenge is, your life is precious. Very, very precious. And Elaine, throughout your book, in between each chapter, you had a symbol, and it's a circular design, like a conch shell. In my Reiki training, I learned and now share certain ancient symbols that were taught to me to help us all connect to higher energy. And this one that you drew is known to me as Dai Komai. Can you tell us about that symbol in your book and also about sacred geometry?
Well, the symbol is actually the symbol of, it is a sacred geometric symbol, and is the representation of the Fibonacci spiral, which is this beautiful image of how energy moves, how things move in patterning. And sacred geometry actually is an ancient study. It used to be a mystery school many, many thousands of years ago. And Jesus that we spoke about actually traveled all over the world and went to mystery schools. And the concept of sacred geometry, the term itself was coined back when Pythagoras and Leonardo da Vinci and Plato and all these great minds inherently studied nature. They studied in great detail everything around them. And they recognized that everything was geometric in pattern. So what they recognized is they were studying the way God designed everything. So they were studying the mind of God.
Yes, the mind. Oh, I love that. The mind and energy of God.
That's right. And that's all science has ever done is study God. Because God has already put everything in place. And we're just trying to discover it and understand what it is.
So isn't that how we can now become able to understand that science and spirituality are indeed one and the same?
Absolutely.
Understanding who we are as energetic beings and using this beautiful earth to fulfill our destiny,
yes,
to grow more in love?
Yes. So I teach, actually there is a modality that I use exclusively that I've been teaching since 2002, Cheryl, and it is called Sacred Geometry and Energy Medicine. And I was actually told I had to call it Healing from the Fourth Dimension. And it took about 3 years. I was given information for 3 years before I ever taught another person. And I wanted to make sure that I understood it completely. And they actually told me to call it Healing from the Fourth Dimension for a very specific reason. Because the fourth dimension is the dimension of time and space. And Einstein proved this. And the dimension of time and space is where our emotions reside. So if any healing is ever to occur in the physical level, the first thing that has to heal is the emotion that triggered the problem. So it's a very powerful modality. Very powerful.
That is so interesting to me. Perhaps you'll write a book about that.
Well, that is going to be included in the energy medicine book.
Good. Excellent.
And it has been, I have been very fortunate to have some extraordinary teachers. Rosalind Gruyere, who is probably the most studied healer in the United States, and also some Native American medicine people that are known all over the world, I have worked with personally and helped me to understand the importance of the work that I'm doing. And what I feel very about, Cheryl, is that when working with people, I want them to understand that I am not just one more person for them to abdicate their health to. I teach people what it is, how their body works, why I'm doing what I'm doing, so that they can feel and know themselves better.
And that is what I do. Also, I help people to connect to their own energy so they can take responsibility for finding a more positive life and help everyone that they interact with. So in my work, Elaine, and in your work and throughout the theme of this show, I know we offer ways to know and to use this higher vibration of energy to enhance our lives. So I want to thank you, Elaine, for joining with me today on Healing from Within, and in helping to show and share our profound gratitude and divine love for all those people who have worked with us and taught us and who are out there also learning and who are listening to what is within their soul heart to find the renewed awareness of who they are as divine and beautiful beings of spirit and love. Please go to www.ElaineGroman to purchase her book, The Angels and Me, and learn more of her work. In summarizing today's show, may I say that we are all surrounded by the divine loving guidance of helpers in spirit, and that our life purpose is a simple one, to connect to the force of good and peace and joy within, and to remember that we are eternally interconnected to all that is and will be. Therefore, we must begin to understand the reason for our gift of life, which is to refine and refill our essence with wisdom and kindness. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence, and please go to my website, www.cherylglick.com, to learn more about energy healing and also to listen to the finest speakers in the field of health and spirituality and science share their stories of transformation.